My dearly beloved in Christ, you notice that today, after the reading of the gospel, the paschal candle is extinguished to indicate our Lord's ascension into heaven, that he was no longer seen on earth in his human nature. And I have to admit that every year it is a sad thing for me to see the paschal candle extinguished for the last time and put away until next year, because the paschal candle is a beautiful symbol in the sanctuary during the Easter season. There are on it the decorations to indicate our Lord, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is the year, the cross, the nails indicating his five wounds. But the paschal candle is a symbol of the glorified body of our Lord. And for 40 days, he remained on earth, appearing to the disciples, completing the instruction of what they were to do to establish the church. And we can imagine what joy they experienced when our Lord appeared to them on these various occasions. How many times did our Lord appear to the apostles after the resurrection, before his ascension? Some will say around 11. I think there are only 9 apparitions recorded by the evangelists, and a couple of them mentioned by St. Paul. At any rate, most likely, our Lord appeared much more often to the apostles. In today's epistle, taken from the Acts of the Apostle, St. Luke says that during these 40 days, he appeared to them on many occasions. Makes it sound as though our Lord appeared much more often than the recorded visions of our Lord after his resurrection. But again, the point is, what must have been the joy of the apostles when our Lord appeared to them? And so you wonder, after 40 days, when he led them up to Mount Olivet and he ascended into heaven, what were their thoughts? There must have been joy tinged with a little bit of sadness, because now he was taken from them. They rejoiced, and in fact, St. Luke tells us that they returned into the city with joy, because our Lord had finally completed his work on earth. He had ascended into heaven. He had gone to his kingdom. As our Lord said to Pilate, "I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world." So now our Lord goes to his kingdom, so his work was complete. And in that, the apostles must have rejoiced. They also must have been filled with joy at the beauty of the vision, the sight of our Lord slowly going up into heaven on the clouds. And then 2 angels telling them that he would come again on the last day in the same way as they had seen him going into heaven. So they had many things that were a source of joy for them. But as I said, there must have been a bit of sadness at the fact that now our Lord was gone. He was gone into heaven. And yet, even though he was absent, they had him present in the Holy Eucharist. They also had his promise, "I will be with you all days, even to the end of the world." And so that promise, as well as the promise that he went to prepare a place for them, that they would one day be united with him again in heaven, that must have filled them with great joy. And so the feast of the ascension of our Lord is one of joy, and I would say in particular one of hope. There is this note, this theme of hope, which gives joy to our lives. If we had not hope that we would one day go to heaven, how different our lives would be, how sad they would be. But in the midst of our crosses, in the midst of our trials, we are buoyed up, we are sustained by hope in the promises of our Lord, and in the promise especially of everlasting happiness in heaven. We read in the liturgy, right before the preface, the priest says, "Sursum corda," And the server answers, Abemus ad Dominum, which means, lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. So this is also part of the Christian way of life, lifting up our hearts. Our lives should be, there should be apparent in our lives a joy because of our faith, of the promises of our Lord, and we should lift up our hearts to heaven, lift up our hearts to Almighty God, and we should go through even the trials of life with a joy. And so that note of joy, that theme, should be ever present in our lives. We also know that when our Lord ascended into heaven, he took with him all of the souls in limbo, all the souls that had been detained in that place of natural happiness, but were waiting for the reopening of the gates of heaven. After the sin of Adam and Eve, the gates of heaven were closed. No human beings could enter heaven to experience the beatific vision. And so even the holiest souls in the Old Testament, we have the great patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. There were the prophets, Elias and all the other prophets, Moses and Samuel and so many holy people, so many men and women and children, so many just individuals in the Old Testament who died in the grace of God but could not enter heaven because the gates of heaven were closed. They went to the limbo of the ancients, sometimes referred to in Scripture among the Jews as the bosom of Abraham, that to dwell with Abraham and the other just. That was a place of waiting. And we know that our Lord went there after his death on the cross to announce to these souls that they had been redeemed and that their wait was just about over, that they would soon be able to enter heaven. And that is why we say in the Apostles' Creed that our Lord, after his death, he descended into hell. That means that his human soul, united to his divinity, went down into the abode of limbo, not the hell of the damned, a place of natural happiness, a place of great happiness, but not a place where God could be seen, the beatific vision. That was only in heaven. And so when our Lord ascended into heaven, he took with him all of these souls. And we are reminded by this of the temple in the Old Testament. The temple was a very large, beautiful structure. It had a large courtyard, and then towards one end of this courtyard, there was a building, a sanctuary, and that was called the Holies. And only the priest went in there to the Holies to offer incense. But then there was a portion of the Holies that was sectioned off by a large curtain, and that was called the Holy of Holies. And only the high priest, once a year on the Day of Atonement, was allowed to go past that heavy curtain into the Holy of Holies, which before the captivity was the place where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. That was considered the presence of God on earth. And the high priest would go in with bearing in his hands a vessel containing the blood of the victims that had been offered. This again was every year during the seventh month on what was called the Day of Atonement. It was a day of penance to atone for sins committed over the past year. And that blood of the victims was offered to God by the high priest once a year. But St. Paul talks about this in his epistle to the Hebrews, because of course the Hebrews understood this symbolism. And he said that Jesus entered into the temple of his glory, he who shed his blood, and his blood was entirely pleasing to his Father. The shedding of his blood redeemed us and reopened the gates of heaven. So there's a great symbolism between the high priest going in once a year into the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament and our Lord entering into heaven at his ascension. He who by shedding his blood had reopened the gates of heaven, had redeemed us, and now is going to be seated at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Our Lord is there in heaven in his human nature, clothed as we are in flesh, in a human body. And he is there and will be for all eternity, seated at the right hand of his Father, the King of heaven and earth, finally achieving the triumph, we might say, of all that he had done throughout his life. He said to Pilate, "I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world." And even on the day of his ascension, the apostles were still, they still didn't understand. St. Luke begins the epistle that we just read by saying he upbraided them as he sat with them at the table for the last time before he led them up to Mount Olivet. He upbraided them for their hardness of heart and because they did not believe the witnesses, the holy women, St. Mary Magdalene, who had seen him. They were incredulous at first after his resurrection. But he also tells them, or rather they ask him, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" They still, at that point, had visions of worldly grandeur, of a temporal kingdom of Israel, that the Israelites would throw off the yoke of Roman domination, and that they would once again be a great nation. They knew our Lord was the Messiah, but for some reason they thought that's what the Messiah was going to do, bring about a temporal kingdom of Israel. And our Lord must have lamented their blindness, but he knew that in another 10 days, the Holy Ghost would come upon them, and the Holy Ghost would help them to finally understand everything that he had been teaching, that his kingdom was not of this world. But he did indeed go into his kingdom, his everlasting kingdom. And we should rejoice on this day because we are part of that triumph. Let us lift up our hearts every day. Let us keep our eyes focused on heaven. Let us work for eternity. And let us live in the joy of our holy faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.